Welcome to the Bogosity Podcast for the 3rd of March 2014, the podcast that reverses the polarity of the neutron flow. This is your host, Shane Killian, and joining me again this week is Jonathan Lochey. John, welcome back to the show.
Great to be here again.
First, a quick announcement, and this is something I haven't been able to do in 5 years because of North Carolina's ridiculous internet tax. Amazon made it so that no one in North Carolina could be an affiliate, and now they've started accepting affiliates from North Carolina again. So if you're an Amazon customer and you want to help this podcast, just next time you go to Amazon, clear your cookies and just type in amazon.bogosity.tv. You won't pay a penny more, but you'll help this podcast. So thank you, Amazon.
Good for you.
Now maybe some of the others will follow suit. Now I'd love to get on audible.com, but again, that internet tax keeps getting in the way.
God bless government.
Yeah. I think Amazon's only doing it because they're charging a sales tax now. Yeah. People, please go to Amazon so I can cover all the sales tax I pay when I go there now. I'll be buying more stuff on eBay, I guess.
Oh, well, hopefully that means we get drone delivery quicker.
Yep. Okay, so we've got a lot to talk about, and the biggest news seems to be that Glenn Greenwald's new news company that we've talked about in the past, it's online and posting stories.
Great.
It's called The Intercept. And it's the first digital magazine for First Look, a news organization created by Pierre Amadiar. The Intercept is founded and edited by Glenn Greenwald, Jeremy Scahill, and Laura Poitras, and for now they're just releasing Snowden documents to the public. And we got quite a few stories about that. Long term, once everything gets going and all their infrastructure's in place, it'll be a place for adversarial journalism and proper investigative reporting, as opposed to the so-called objective news media, where objective seems to mean just go along with the status quo.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of funny, and this is scary. The amount of crap you read in the news that's just verbatim copy and paste from a press release with no fact-checking whatsoever is really scary. So it is nice that somebody's actually going to... There's an outlet for somebody who actually cares about being a journalist so that they have a great an outlet to go to.
Which is what brings us to our first story in News of the Bogus. It's a piece from Glenn Greenwald about how the UK courts seem to equate investigative journalism with terrorism. And we've talked about this before, how his partner David Miranda was detained for several hours without being charged with anything. Well, a UK court has now said that this is completely legal, even though it was, quote, an indirect interference with press freedom. Oh, and they also said he couldn't appeal.
What was it, 1984, Truth is Lies?
Yeah. I don't even think they can do that. It's up to the appellate court whether or not he can appeal. We rule you can't appeal. Okay, we're going to go to the appellate court to appeal the ruling that we couldn't appeal your ruling. I mean, that's all you have to do. Well, in the proceedings, the UK government called the release of the Snowden documents terrorism, and Greenwald points out the same thing is being done in Egypt against journalists in Al Jazeera. So these are the things that, oh, the Western world is so enlightened, we would never do that. That's only for those two-bit developing world dictators that do that. Yeah.
Yeah. What Ron Paul said about Edward Snowden, the idea that if we're charging him with treason, that means that we consider the American people our enemy.
Yeah, they're actually charging him with espionage. They can't charge him with treason because the Constitution actually defines what's treason, and that's, isn't it? Espionage is revealing secrets to the enemy. So the idea is he released them to the American public. The American public must be the enemy.
That's, yes, thank you, grammar school teacher. That's exactly what's going on currently in the UK.
And The Intercept isn't pulling its punches when it comes to the US either. There's another Greenwald piece that talks about the fear-mongering from Obama's Director of National Intelligence, James Clapper. And if that name sounds familiar, he's the one who openly lied to Congress and said that the NSA wasn't doing what the Snowden documents reveal they've been doing all over the place.
This guy has a great track record for transparency, truth, honesty.
Yeah, so we're going to believe him when he says it's terrorism. Quote, "We're beginning to see changes in the communications behavior of adversaries, particularly terrorists. Terrorists and other adversaries of this country are going to school on U.S. intelligence sources, methods, and tradecraft. And the insights they're gaining are making our job in the intelligence community much, much harder. And this includes putting the lives of members or assets of the intelligence community at risk, as well as those of our armed forces, diplomats, and our citizens. And of course, he has no evidence of this, mind you, none at all.
My God, they might have 3.5-inch floppy disks now, Shane. These people that are hiding in caves in the middle of nowhere, or can barely afford a computer that can run Windows Millennium. But my God, they're going to topple a trillion-dollar superpower.
But, I mean, here you can really see Greenwald's motivation for creating this new news outlet. He says, quote, "What has struck me is how seriously many media figures take this claim. In the vast majority of interviews I've done about NSA reporting, interviewers adopt a grave tone in their voice and trumpet the claims from U.S. officials that our reporting is helping the terrorists. They treat these claims as though they're the byproduct of some sort of careful, deliberative, unique assessment rather than what it is, the evidence-free tactics national security state officials reflexively invoke to discredit all national security journalism they dislike." And he goes on to point out how the Bush administration was doing all this as well, and it was supported by the Republican Congress.
Drawing comparisons to Nixon, the Checker speech. That was when Nixon was running for, I believe, vice president and got in trouble for a slush fund to take out enemies. You know, not that that never happened again, but he went on national TV and basically talked about how he got his new dog Checkers for his kids and basically just made the entire news outlets forget the entire thing. What's going on right now is one giant Checkers thing. And what I like about Greenwald here is he's still pointing that out versus, you don't ever hear any of the, if they do mention it, it's basically just verbatim, whatever, or you don't hear it at all and you hear about, you know, oh, they're fixing school lunches, or oh, it's this, or
they've been fixing school lunches for how many decades?
Exactly. Never mind, that's a whole nother tangent I can go off on in the last story I saw on that.
Yeah, but it's like I said earlier, so-called objective reporting is really just biased towards the status quo. So I've come up with just some example headlines of objective, non-biased reporting, followed by the headline I would use if I were reporting it. Okay, think about this. DEA officials claimed a victory in the war on drugs today when they seized tens of millions of dollars in drugs and drug money from one of the biggest drug rings ever. My version of that would be, the DEA exposed the war on drugs as the failure that it is after they admit that the biggest drug ring ever has been operating despite the war on drugs being waged for over 40 years. Or theirs would be, workers won a victory today as President Obama pledged to raise the minimum wage to $10.10. Mine is, low-income and minority workers were dealt a blow today when President Obama declared that no one who isn't able to produce at least $10.10 worth of wealth every hour would be allowed to have a job. Or another example might be, U.S. forces took out a suspected terrorist in Pakistan when they made a precision drone strike against the suspect. Mine would be, U.S. forces helped create more terrorists today when they executed without trial someone merely suspected of terrorism, as well as several innocent bystanders. So, are theirs really any less biased than mine?
I think it's one of those things of, what's the difference between a religion and a cult? The number of followers it has?
Yeah, something like that. But isn't it more important than bias, which one is more accurate? Did they more accurately describe it, or did I? Now, that's the important thing, and I think that's what Greenwald's trying to do here. I mean, there's no way at all to be unbiased, but at least there's going to be someone pointing out these kinds of things. Greenwald said, quote, James Clapper is saying exactly what Dick Cheney and George Bush before him said, and those three said what John Ehrlichman and Henry Kissinger said before them about Ellsberg. It's all spouted with no evidence. It's rote and reflexive. It's designed to smear and fearmonger. As Professor Ludlow notes, fear is even used to prevent us from questioning the decisions supposedly being made for our safety. Maybe it's time for journalists to cease being the leading advocates for state secrecy and instead take seriously their claimed role as watchdogs. At the very least, demand evidence before these sorts of highly predictable cliched attacks are heralded as something to be taken seriously. As it is, they're just cartoons, ones that are played over and over and over. So Greenwald knows perfectly well they're supposed to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable, something few others seem to practice nowadays. Hackers, terrorists, the NSA. But I repeat myself. Your online security is under attack, and the weakest point is your password. That's why you need LastPass. LastPass plugs into your browser and allows you to randomly generate strong, unique passwords anywhere on the web, all protected by one master password. LastPass sets up in minutes and gives you secure automatic logins throughout the web, synchronizing across all your browsers and all your computers, at home, at work, or on the road. It even securely stores sensitive form data, including credit card numbers, backup sensitive documents, membership info, Wi-Fi logins, and more. And with LastPass Premium, you can get these benefits on other applications and even mobile devices, and also get priority customer support. Sign up at password.pagosity.tv for a free month of LastPass Premium. Log in securely everywhere using the last password you'll ever have to remember. Go to password.pagosity.tv and get LastPass now. So you're going to tell us about Reddit censoring Greenwald's publications?
Yes, Reddit's one of the top social media sites on the internet. And the latest Snowden leaks that Greenwald published was actually very documented evidence of the intelligence community goes into places like Facebook, Reddit, Twitter, and they purposefully use those sites in order to shift conversations towards one side or the other, to gather information, to gather quote-unquote metadata and everything else.
And they actually are being very detailed. I mean, they're publishing the slides and everything. You just keep scrolling down the page and there's slide after slide after slide. They've got all the documents right there.
Mm-hmm. At least six Redditors have been told they've been banned from Reddit's default news agency or news subreddit.
That's r/news?
Yes, rnews in Reddit speak. One was banned from rworldnews for posting links to this. And of course, however, this being the internet, that was found out pretty quickly.
Yeah. Yay, transparency.
I mean, there's a subreddit called rundelete that's dedicated just to uncovering banned threads, so...
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. But what I particularly liked was, so the topic of discussion is direct evidence in the form of leaked top-secret documents that the intelligence community goes to rather remarkable lengths to manipulate online social media. Does anyone see how the comments in this thread might look a little ironic at some point in the near future?
Someone posts a story about how the NSA is manipulating online social media like Reddit, and then someone comes along and manipulates it.
Yep. And this actually isn't the first time that Reddit has gotten crap like this. Did we cover on the podcast, I forget, when XR Politics banned any article posted by Reason Magazine?
Oh, I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, but to be fair, my understanding is Reddit... These moderators, they're not like, you know, paid employees or anything. They're just people on the internet who have signed up to be moderators or whatever, and so there's probably a big variety of them. And it might be a case where just a couple of bad moderators can go through and do this stuff, and it might not be representative of Reddit as a whole.
Yeah. All the moderators on our news were basically hiding behind, quote, "It's all hype and distorted by partisanship. It's not a news story and does not belong in our news."
So all the information on the NSA spying on social media is not news?
No. And this is a quote that our news, the moderator team, sent as a whole. "We have a very specific set of rules which are written to enforce a specific moderator: quality content, non-bias, objectivity, and factuality."
It seems to me, though, that if you ban stories because of bias, anything can be shown to have a bias. So, I mean, that's just kind of a blanket thing you could use to kick out whatever you wanted to. I mean, you know, when I was reading the two different headlines out there, theirs and mine, what are the chances that they'd call mine biased, which they completely were, but let in the ones that are more like what the news media reports that somehow aren't biased and they're objective and everything? I mean, you know.
By the way, as we're recording this podcast, I pulled up our news with their supposedly, you know, totally objective articles. Here's a medley of the top stories currently going. "Student loans are ruining your life and now the economy too. 10% of Americans would quit the internet if net neutrality dies. And Asheville shows how environmental watchdog was defanged by the GOP."
Yeah, no opinion or analysis there.
Yeah.
Unbiased generally ends up meaning agrees with us. But, I mean, they're biased. It's just that skilled reporters are sneaky about hiding it. You know, they use things like the passive voice. to make it seem like, well, this isn't my opinion, just kind of remove the subject of whose opinion it is. And, you know, it's just a little harder to spot, but it's there. Okay, so we've got Snowden documents to look at. This time, it's making the link we've all been wondering about all this time. Is there a link between them and WikiLeaks and Julian Assange? Yes, as it turns out, the NSA and the GCHQ have been routinely targeting Assange and WikiLeaks, as well as other activist groups like Anonymous and websites like the Pirate Bay, with everything from covert surveillance to the same kind of harassment it sounds like you were just talking about with Reddit.
Honestly, I'm not shocked whatsoever.
Well, we've covered all sorts of things about Assange and WikiLeaks, but until now we haven't had any direct evidence from the Snowden leaks that the NSA was actively doing this. But yeah, they used things like their taps into communications lines to monitor visitors to WikiLeaks, and they collected things like their IP addresses and search terms and things like that. And that's data that could be used later to track down their identity and other activity on the internet.
Yeah, I mean, this is why, you know, when people just blurt out the herpty derp, it's just metadata. You know, when you can target IP addresses, when you can target all this information that they have been, I know the libertarian line is that anyone who works for the government is some slob who couldn't get a job anywhere else. There are plenty of smart people that work in the government.
Oh, yeah. And they're the ones you got to worry about.
Yeah.
Mostly it's the government's incompetence that protects us. When they start being efficient, that's the time to worry.
Mm-hmm.
It's really scary because the NSA actually considered designating WikiLeaks, quote, a malicious foreign actor for the purpose of targeting, which means that people involved with WikiLeaks could be targeted without a warrant, even if they were American citizens.
Like, that's an unprecedented decision, sadly.
Yeah, and there's another document which gives us confirmation that the Obama administration, the most transparent administration in history, urged its allies in other countries to file criminal charges against Assange. Now, this stops short of being proof that Sweden is using their criminal investigation of Assange as a ruse to punish him for WikiLeaks, but considering the pretty high probability it had before this came out, this really gives it a push into high gear. Hey, Assange, you better keep cooling your heels there in the Ecuadorian embassy. Assange told The Intercept, quote, the NSA and its UK accomplices show no respect for the rule of law. But there is a cost to conducting illicit actions against a media organization. No entity, including the NSA, should be permitted to act against a journalist with impunity. We have instructed our general counsel to prepare the appropriate response. The investigations into attempts to interfere with WikiLeaks' work will go wherever they need to go. Make no mistake, those responsible will be held to account and brought to justice. Best of luck to him. Meanwhile, apparently Assange's little stay in the embassy has cost the Metropolitan Police £5.3 million so far. Oh no, wait, I'm sorry. Assange didn't cost them that. The British government cost them that. Assange didn't tell them to be there. He didn't schedule their hours or anything. See, there I go, going against the published headline again. Now, come on. Does anyone think they're doing all of this? They've got the police camped out there 24/7. They're paying all this overtime and everything. Do people really think they're doing all of this and spending all of this money just because Sweden wants him for questioning on a matter of a sexual assault charge that was previously dropped due to a lack of evidence?
I think we all know the answer to that question. At what point are these petty tyrants just going to give up because they got exposed? I mean, Julian Assange is kind of yesterday's news at this point.
He has to be made an example of.
£5.3 million?
So now, apparently, Swedish MPs are saying that the prosecutors should just go there and question him, which Assange has said all along, he would have skipped. You want to question me? Here, come over here and question me. Ask me questions. He just doesn't want the U.S. to grab him and deport him or whatever and put him in Guantanamo or wherever. And, I mean, he said all along, let's do that, and the Swedish just want him for questioning, right? We just want to ask him some questions. Well, go ask him already.
Yeah, questioning, right.
Bogosity.tv and all of its services are hosted at GoDaddy,
I've been a satisfied GoDaddy customer for over 10 years now. Their prices are great, and their 24/7 support is second to none, so I'm happy to be able to give you this special offer. Just sign up for any new domain, web hosting, email, or many other services, and get 35% off by typing in the code WOWNOBOGON. That's WOWNOBOGON. Because there's nothing bogus about these savings on quality internet service. Get your own .com with a personalized email address or establish your online business in a snap, all for 35% off. Or check the right-hand side of the podcast page for special offers on GoDaddy products. Get great savings on quality internet services. Just go to GoDaddy.com and use the code WOWNOBOGON.
Well, here's an interesting little item that happened while all this was going on. Edward Snowden was elected as the new rector of Glasgow University.
Well, hey. I mean, you know, just because he's staying in Russia doesn't mean he can't make the trip to Scotland every now and then.
Now, a rector traditionally has been something like a dean or chancellor, but more recently it's just more of a figurehead, and they like giving him to celebrities and athletes. And the student body group who promoted his election released a statement saying, quote, "We are incredibly delighted to see Edward Snowden elected as the new rector of Glasgow University. Our opposition to persuasive and immoral state intrusion has gone down in the records. What is more, we showed Edward Snowden and other brave whistleblowers that we stand in solidarity with them."
Hey, good for you, Glasgow University.
Here's the interesting thing. The actual title is Lord Rector. So is he Lord Snowden now?
I guess.
I mean, I usually don't go along with titles and ability, but I'm really tempted to in this case. You know, to start calling him Lord Snowden from now on.
There we go. Or would it be Lord Edward? I don't know. I've been watching too much Game of Thrones.
I think it's usually the last name, because John Maynard Keynes was Lord Keynes. But a lot of times it's not even their last name. They're like the Earl of Hoofelhuffle, and then they become Lord Hoofelhuffle, even though their last name is Mortimershire or whatever.
Yeah.
So, Jonathan, you're going to tell us about the Obama administration putting monitors in newsrooms all over the country?
Basically, the Obama administration wants the Federal Communications Commission, the FCC. They are pushing a new study into newsrooms called the Multi-Market Study of Critical Information Needs, or CIN. Fun acronym. And the objective of goal of this is from the FCC is to, quote-unquote, ferret out information from television and radio broadcasters about the process of which stories are selected, how often stations cover critical information needs, along with perceived bias and perceived responsiveness to underserved populations.
See, they're just looking out for us.
Exactly. So, essentially what this boils down to is the Obama administration wants some FCC stooge in every newsroom in America, or at least the major ones, with the ability to say, well, that's not what you should cover. That's not critical.
Well, isn't this just an attempt to homogenize all of this? Okay, Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, you all have to do everything the same way.
And this isn't even Fox. This is, you know, WJXT local news versus WTXY. You know, this is some really scary Orwellian stuff.
Yeah. And it's interesting, is this article you sent me points out that Reporters Without Borders says that the U.S. ranks 46th in the world for freedom of the press, and it recently dropped 13 places. And they say that's one of the most significant declines in freedom of the press in the world.
Transparency.
Oh, they're pretty transparent, all right, just not in the way they were saying.
Maybe we'll get important enough to have our own FCC critical information guy.
Hey.
Setting goals.
I could use someone to monitor audio levels. Hey, while you're here, make yourself useful. All right, more interesting news from the world of Bitcoin. A group of MIT students who won the most innovative award are in legal hot water because of the piece of software they were working on. It wasn't spyware, it wasn't malware, it wasn't a virus or anything like that. It's a piece of software called Tidbit. And the idea of Tidbit is that instead of putting ads on your website to monetize it and try and make back the money you've put into it and maybe even make a little bit of a profit?
Ooh.
Instead of doing that, what you'd say is, okay, our website is not going to use any ads. Instead, while you're on our page, we're going to run a Bitcoin miner. And so for as long as you're on our website, browsing our website, reading or whatever, it'll be mining Bitcoins for us in our name, and we get the result of all that, and then you'd close out of it and go somewhere else, and then that'd be it. And that's pretty cool. I mean, I love the fact that people are thinking of different ways of doing things. People complain about ads, how they're, you know, everywhere, and there's all these flash ads that are all this potential for malware and all this stuff going on that slows down the browser. So at least they're making an attempt, which is good. But in December, the New Jersey Division of Consumer Affairs sent them a subpoena ordering that they turn over the source code, all Bitcoin wallets associated with Tidbit, all agreements and communications with third parties, the name and IP addresses of everyone who mined Bitcoins using Tidbit, and, quote, all documents and correspondence concerning all breaches of security and or unauthorized access to computers.
Yeah, that's not being litigious or anything.
Oh, well, although they haven't said, the language of it makes it seem like they're being accused of violating New Jersey's Computer Fraud Act, and New Jersey has gone after things like gaming companies, like you install a game and they surreptitiously install a Bitcoin miner without you knowing about it, stuff like that.
Right.
But what's bizarre is that this is New Jersey doing this, even though none of them live in New Jersey, and no server or code or anything else is in New Jersey either.
What was probably happening was some government New Jersey employee was probably surfing some website that had it on it, and it hit some stupid firewall.
Well, this wasn't on any websites, though. This was just in the alpha stage. It hadn't even gotten to beta yet.
Ah.
Yeah. And they also hit him with it just before finals, which, yeah, stay classy, guys.
God.
So the EFF is helping with their suit. Best of luck to them.
You say you don't like Bitcoin? Why not? Oh, because it's not gold. No problem. Just go to coins.bogosity.tv and you'll be taken to Coinable, where you can buy gold or silver coins or bars with your bitcoins, with literally up-to-the-minute spot pricing. Now there's no reason not to jump on the Bitcoin bandwagon. Whether you're a Bitcoin miner, service operator, Bitcoin business owner, or market speculator, you can get gold and silver from reputable dealers, and Coinable has Bitcoin liquidity for fast processing of your order. Coinable even utilizes a special shipping infrastructure to ensure that your investment arrives safely at your door. And you know what? By going to coins.bogosity.tv, you won't pay a penny more, excuse me, a Satoshi more for your purchase. But you'll help this podcast. You can even sell your gold and silver for Bitcoin as well. Coinable is your Bitcoin to gold marketplace. So go to coins.bogosity.tv and start turning your Bitcoins into gold now.
And now it's time to hedge against the portfolio of this week's biggest bogon emitter. And this week it goes to Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia. And I guess this was bound to happen sooner or later. He's leading the call to ban Bitcoin.
Can't have competition, especially with money.
The funny thing is, I read through his comments, and it seems like he's talking about the U.S. dollar. He says things like, disruptive to our economy, highly unstable, used in illicit activity, including drug trafficking and money laundering. He might not want to throw too many stones in that glass house of his.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, really, because the government has had sort of eyes on Bitcoin pretty much since when they tried to shut down the Silk Road.
Oh, it's been longer than that.
Yeah, because really when you think about it, because Mt. Gox and several other Bitcoin places were used heavily in connection with Silk Road. They've been having their eye on trying to get this thing smashed for a while. But I think, you know, how can you ban a virtual internet currency, number one? As you said, you know, the idea that Bitcoin is disruptive to the economy is as insane as all these preppers hoarding gold and silver is.
Yeah. Well, Manchin also said, quote, this virtual currency is currently unregulated and has allowed users to participate in illicit activity, while also being highly unstable and disruptive to our economy. For the reasons outlined below, I urge regulators to take appropriate action to limit the abilities of this highly unstable currency. Well, given that the Federal Reserve is their idea of regulating a currency, I think I'll pass.
Last time I checked, I couldn't tip a stripper with Bitcoin, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, can you imagine a couple of drug dealers on the streets and, you know, the guy getting the drugs and the other guy hands him Bitcoin for the drugs? How's that supposed to work?
Yeah.
Here's my cell phone. Scan this QR code. I don't know. I don't really see it.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, the very features that make Bitcoin attractive to some also attract criminals who are able to disguise their actions from law enforcement. Wow, really? You mean something that's easy for people to use is also easy for criminals to use? So criminals could use cars to escape the scene of a crime. Or they could use prepaid cell phones to communicate anonymously. Ooh, who knew? Where's this going to end?
They could deal drugs over the internet.
You know, I saw every episode of Breaking Bad, and not once did they use a virtual currency. It was all dollars.
A lot of dollars in some cases.
Yeah, big stacks of dollars. Or way back, if you remember the show called The Shield, when they robbed the Armenian money train, and they ended up being, you know, all this huge warehouse just full of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, due to Bitcoin's anonymity, the virtual market has been extremely susceptible to hackers and scam artists stealing millions from Bitcoin users. Now, come on. Well, first of all, we've talked about how easy it is to secure your wallet. We also saw how anonymous Bitcoin isn't way back last year when a security expert found the Android Bitcoin exploit, and he tracked down a user with a vulnerable wallet. He found the vulnerability in the blockchain. He was able to track down the user of that wallet and got his permission to prove that vulnerability using his wallet. I mean, every transaction is recorded and available for everyone to see. That's called transparency, not anonymity. And if you think someone is using it to buy something illicit, you don't even have to subpoena or serve a warrant or anything. Just grab a copy of the blockchain and look at it.
And that's even, you know, because I've been looking at all these people that have gotten into Bitcoin like the last 6 months don't even understand what the hell Bitcoin is. They just see it as some, it really is just a Ponzi scheme.
Quote, that's why more than a handful of countries and their banking systems have cautioned against the use of Bitcoin. Indeed, it has been banned in two different countries, Thailand and China. Really? So he takes his cues from the governments of China and Thailand? That explains a lot.
Hey, China's an efficient government.
Oh, my. Yeah, so governments and banking systems don't want us to use Bitcoin. Ooh, gee, I wonder why. Quote, several other countries, including the European Union, have issued warnings to Bitcoin users as their respective governments consider options for regulating or banning its use entirely. Yeah, that ought to work about as well as blocking the Pirate Bay.
It'll happen one day, Shane.
You can't keep a whack-a-mole game going forever. Quote, I am most concerned that as Bitcoin is inevitably banned in other countries, Americans will be left holding the bag on a valueless currency. Yeah, we're afraid of the dollar, too. That's why we're using Bitcoins. Bazinga. Quote, the clear ends of Bitcoin for either transacting in illegal goods and services or speculative gambling make me weary of its use. Well, then don't use it! I mean, really, unlike some other currencies I could name, there's no law requiring you to use Bitcoin. Jeez. All of which means that Senator Joe Manchin is so transparently this week's biggest bogon emitter. History is written by the winners, and so apparently is economics. That's why there's Liberty Classroom. Probably the best single learning resource for history and economics on the web, Liberty Classroom teaches U.S. history, Western Civ, and economics from actual university professors. There's lots of free material to get you started, including introductory lectures on all these subjects. And when you sign up, you'll get the full site's content for just $99 a year, less than the price of 2 cups of coffee a month. And if you type in the promo code BOGOSITY in all caps, you'll get your first year for just $88. Lectures are available in both video and audio format, so you can watch or listen to them on your computer, your phone or tablet, or in your car. Learn at your own pace about the subjects you're interested in and become a more effective debater.
You'll also get access to lots of supplemental materials, and even the professors themselves via the discussion forum and even live video chats. Inform yourself against the myths and propaganda of our society. Visit LibertyClassroom.com.
And now it's time to test fire this week's
Idiot Extraordinaire!
And this week it goes to Jesse Jackson, who says that semi-automatic weapons should be banned because, get this, they can shoot down airplanes and blow up railroads.
Damn right, Jesse, you go get them. Has Jesse Jackson, has this man never seen a gun fired in his life?
I don't... Here's what he said on Fox News, quote, "Semi-automatic weapons are not just about gun control, they're about national security. You know that these weapons can shoot down airplanes, they can blow up railroads. This is really a whole national security issue." Wow, and to think Lawrence of Arabia ended up using explosives to blow up trains. What a maroon. Oh, and what about all that unnecessary R&D on surface-to-air missiles when a simple AR-15 would have done the job?
I mean, heck, Jesse, go pick up a copy of Battlefield. Even in that game, I can't even shoot down a plane with just a regular gun. I have to go pick up the Stinger missile.
You know the closest game I can think of that comes to this? Is Sid Meier's Civilization. And I don't know how many times I've come that close to winning the game, and I'd bring a destroyer or an aircraft carrier against the town. My spy would say there's one phalanx unit, and it would take down the destroyer, and then take down an aircraft carrier. It's like, what?
Oh, yeah.
You know, you got these Bronze Age guys with pointed sticks. They're taking down.
Yeah. At least Civ 5 finally, I think, balanced those issues out. But, he has to just be trolling at this point.
He's probably thinking, hey, let's see how many completely idiotic things I can say, then people will still go with them. But I mean, this is really something very close to what he said a month earlier, quote, "The young man who did the killing in Aurora, Colorado, with the arsenal he had, he was right near the airport, right near the runways in Denver. He could shoot down airplanes, so this is a matter of homeland security as well."
I wasn't aware that he had an RPG in the Aurora attack.
Well, former CIA official Jason Hansen responded, quote, "I just read the Jesse Jackson quote, and quite frankly, it's laughable. It's clear Reverend Jackson doesn't know the first thing about rifles and guns in general. It's like me making a comment about quilting, something I know absolutely nothing about. With the type of rifle that James Holmes had, it would be impossible to shoot down a plane. Okay, nothing is impossible, but it would be as likely as aliens knocking on my front door tomorrow." And Marine Corps aircraft engineer Chris Garr concurred, saying that someone would, quote, "have a better chance of being hit by lightning while winning the lottery than bringing down a commercial airliner with the weapons that Holmes carried." So yes, there's no way anyone other than Jesse Jackson could possibly be this week's
Idiot Extraordinaire!
Wraps up this She Turned Me Into a Mute edition of the Bogosity Podcast. Please visit the forums at Bogosity.tv, where you can read the show notes and join the discussion on these and other subjects. This podcast is free but not free to produce, so please donate via PayPal or Bitcoin at the top of the Bogosity.tv website or down the right-hand side of the podcast page and give generously to keep this podcast going. And if you'd like to contribute to the podcast, just send a question, statement, news article, or rant to podcast@bogosity.tv. Put it in an audio file, and if it's good enough, it'll get played right in the podcast. Thank you for listening, and thanks again to Jonathan Lochey for joining me.
Great to be here again.
Until next time, here's a quote from Voltaire. At the end, fiat money returns to its inner value. Zero. The Bogosity Podcast is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Imported License.
Bogosity.
Do you want answers to creationist claims against evolution? Would you like to know more about evolution yourself, or even engage creationists more directly, with actual peer-reviewed sources to back you up? My book, How Evolution is Scientific, is designed to show the basics of evolutionary theory and how it is so well supported using the scientific method. It's impeccably sourced, with references to the actual scientific material, and is arranged using the creationists' own criteria of what is scientific. Using their own arguments against them, see how evolution is scientific, but creationism is not, based on observations, accurate predictions, logic, and evidence. Get answers to common creationist claims, and even a primer on abiogenesis, the start of all life. It's all in my book, How Evolution is Scientific, available at Amazon and on Kindle, EPUB, and PDF as well. Get How Evolution is Scientific and never be taken in by creationists again.
I'd like to give out a Silver Clue on award, and this is to the designers and everyone who played Twitch Plays Pokemon. Have you seen that, Shane?
No, I think that one passed me by somehow.
Basically, someone uploaded a ROM of the original Pokemon Red onto Twitch and allowed any user at all to input a command in the comment field. Like, if you put up, the character would go up, you know, down, left, right.
Okay, so it's like an interactive adventure game type of thing.
Well, basically, yeah, you're playing the game through the and anybody could comment anything at all. Basically resulted in very interesting sort of social experiment, and I think a great libertarian argument for the wisdom of crowds. Because at any given time, there's between about 40 to 100,000 players inputting commands simultaneously. And it took them a little over 2 weeks to beat the entire game. Everybody, when this first started, was like, oh, they'll never do this, or oh, they'll never, you know, they'll never get past stage X or Y. But it did, it happened, and they beat the whole game.
Okay, so this is a single-player video game, but the button commands were being crowdsourced by people all over the internet.
Yes, so that's who I'd like to give a Silver Clue on award to.
So who actually did this?
You know, I think the guy who designed it is still staying anonymous.
Hard to give out a Silver Clue on to an anonymous person. Otherwise, I'd be tempted.
Yeah. I just want to give it out to basically anybody who played it, too, for taking part in it.
Okay, so we don't know who it was, so I guess we can't technically give a Silver Clue on, but yeah, that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.